Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
From BrownZone.com and, of course, The Chronicle. His name is Scott Petrek, and he is on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Hi, Scotty, how are you?
I'm good. What's going on, fellas?
We're good. Scott, what'd you think of our little game we were playing there? I don't know if you want to try to. I don't want to continue with during the interview because I don't want to. We don't want to stifle what you're going to say. But it was interesting to hear what people had to say about how to fix this team outside of the quarterback position, outside of said quarterback.
Yeah, I mean that is interesting. I think my first reaction is everything starts with the quarterback. And if I look at this roster, there's small room for improvement, right? I think the receiving core needs to be better. Maybe you can upgrade tight end depending on contract situations, you know, defensive tackle. But to me, the rest of the roster are tweaks. The biggest issue is how do you fix the quarterback / passing game?
We're looking at the words with what Andrew Berry said yesterday. One thing he didn't say, Scott, and we're allowed to say it now, he didn't say Baker Mayfield is our starting quarterback next year. What he said was, we expect Baker Mayfield to be our starting quarterback. Okay. That means you don't expect the Houston Texans to lower their asking price or Russell Wilson to want to come to Cleveland or whatever. I would assume that they're wide open to doing just about anything. But the expectation is that he won't be able to pull it off and that Baker's your guy. Well, let's be fair. He never said he was absolutely the starter.
Yeah, I think that's an important point to make, Jeff. I thought Andrew Berry was strong in the fully expects.
Yeah.
For a guy that doesn't say a lot, right, that was a strong two words, fully expects. But you're completely right that if some better quarterback option presented itself or he went out and found a better quarterback option, I would fully expect, using his own words, Andrew Berry to – go after that, right? I don't think the way Baker played this year, the organization's reluctance to give him a long-term contract even before this year, I don't feel like we haven't seen a long-term commitment. I don't think that's changed. And if that's the backdrop, then yeah, I think Andrew Berry and the Browns would be open to finding a better quarterback. The question is, can you find that better option? And if not, then you better try to at least keep the groundwork for making a try to work with Baker Mayfield, which is having good exit meetings, saying you fully expect him to come back and bounce back, right? So that if he is your guy, because that's the default option, is Baker Mayfield in 2022, then you have to set up a foundation to give him a chance to succeed next year.
It's interesting to hear, like, as people were listening to Andrew Berry, like, some people felt he gave him a vote of confidence. And I think I heard it the way Jeff heard it yesterday, that he left the door wide open. We weren't in the room. Did you feel like he gave him any vote of confidence yesterday?
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, parsing words and you're watching his facial expressions. I think he tried. He opened with the fully expects. And then I asked him, okay, what gives you confidence? And he named some things, you know, super tough and team-oriented and work hard. I do think it's worth noting that none of those things talk about specific on-field quarterback play, right? Big arm and ability to see the field and good decision-making. And, like, none of that got brought up. So I think Andrew Berry definitely left wiggle room. I think he was consistent in, yes, we expect Baker to come back. Yes, we expect him to bounce back. But I think he left plenty of wiggle room in, okay, if we see better options, we'll pursue them. And I don't think he was as strong as he could have been in just general support for Baker Mayfield. So, you know, and I think he also got tired of answering the questions, probably because he doesn't have a great answer for those, right? I mean, Baker's coming off a down year. And, yes, the shoulder played a role in that, but it didn't play the entire role in that. So it seems to me hard to, you know, get 100% behind a guy that played poorly and throughout his career has been inconsistent. You know, you're not – it's not like you're trying to get behind a guy like Dak Prescott, right, who's played well over his career. It's a guy that's been up and down, and this year was down.
Scott, when you look at wide receiver, do you think odds are that anybody, and I'm guessing maybe Jarvis Landry's the main fella here, anybody other than Donovan Peoples-Jones and Anthony Schwartz are back?
No, I do not think anyone besides those two guys are back. Now, you know, I would not rule out Jarvis Landry, but Andrew Berry was given the chance to say, yeah, Landry's coming back next year at the $15 million that he's under contract for, and he did not say that. Now, he said nice things about Jarvis Landry, but to me that was a signal that it's not likely that Jarvis Landry comes back, at least for that contract. Maybe they can work something out. Maybe they restructure the deal and keep him for, you know, another 2 or 3 years, but at less money. I don't know if Jarvis would be willing to do that or not. But I think the likelihood is that Jarvis Landry does not return. I think Rashard Higgins is done, which leaves you with Peoples-Jones and Schwartz, and then you got to go figure out how to remake your receiver show.
How do they?
Well, I think it starts with a high draft pick. First or second round pick, I would expect to be spent on a wideout, and then you take another guy, you know, mid to late round, and then you find the right veteran fit, right? Because they would not have any veterans on the roster in that room, right? If you get rid of Jarvis and get rid of Higgins, or you let them go. So I think you have to find that veteran somewhere. But I do not think it would be a tier one free agent that's really expensive. I think it would be more of a, you know, middle tier guy that you like in the locker room who can help kind of bring these guys along, but yet can still play. Maybe a third down receiver. That would be the type of veteran I would think they would go, and then they get a couple of rookies.
So, Andy, excuse me, no Allen Robinson, no Chris Godwin in your estimation? Maybe more like a guy like Golden Tate, somebody like that?
Yeah, I think that's how I could see it going, Jeff. I just don't know if, you know, I know this organization is flexible, but I don't think their core philosophy is to spend a lot of money on free agent receivers. And I think that that's one of the, when they took over, right, Andrew Berry and Paul DePodesta, John Dorsey had a different philosophy, and it was pay Jarvis Landry a ton of money and pay Odell Beckham Jr. a ton of money. And I never felt like this regime was comfortable with that, and now they get the chance to remake the room.
All right, part of that, and I think is probably the least talked about thing on the team, but to me it just became more glaring as the season started to come to a close, and that's building more depth on that offensive line. You know, it's tough to think about how many games they had with all five starters in, knowing that they had all these injuries. And then, I mean, you'd even go back and just say, well, Chris Hubbard got hurt early on in the season. And, you know, I think that that was an underlying factor to the inability of the offense that we just never talk about, and that I wonder how much they'll do in the offseason as far as the offensive line is concerned.
Yeah, I agree that the Hubbard injury was significant, and it became more significant with every game Jedrick Wills missed or left early with that ankle injury, and then every game Jack Conklin missed with whatever it was, the knee and then the patellar tendon. The absence of Chris Hubbard is huge, and the fact is I don't know is a – organization how deep your offensive line can be when you start the season, right? They had their five starters they loved. They had their backup tackle they loved. They had a rookie in James Hudson III, and they had a, you know, Nick Harris at center and a couple of backup guards. Like,
right.
It felt like a real stable situation, and I don't know.
Sure did.
You know, I don't know what Andrew Berry could have done differently. Now, going into the next year, you could say, okay, well, you have to figure that out. You have to find that swing tackle. Is it James Hudson III, or do you have to go find someone else? Can you count on Jack Conklin being back? Do you believe Jedrick Wills will improve in year three? Because, yes, he had to fight through that ankle injury, but I also don't think he played nearly as well as the team would hope. And I think they believe that there's plenty of room for growth there from a physical standpoint, from a playing to the whistle standpoint. But, I mean, he's going to be back at your left tackle. So then the question is, at right tackle, is Conklin going to be back? And then what do you do at that backup tackle position? And my guess is they add a veteran that they believe can be the swing tackle. And then if they decide that James Hudson is better than that veteran in training camp, fine. But you need another option. You can't go into 2022 with Conklin coming off the injury and Hudson and say, okay, Hudson's going to be our swing tackle in year two, given how he played as a rookie in limited action.
Is this year similar for Jedrick Wills as to Baker Mayfield? In other words, man, we sure didn't get the chance to get that evaluation we were looking for moving forward here. Or did Jedrick show you enough when he was out there to think that this guy's without question the left tackle for the next decade? I kind of feel that he is, Scott, but I've seen some rumblings that, boy, okay, even though he was good, he was injured and beat up and kind of a lost year.
Yeah, I think it's – I don't know if it's either, Jeff, because I think he was healthy enough for the second half of the season. I know the ankle injury really bothered him early, and the Browns made a point of him having to learn to play through the injury and fight through the injury. And why Teller brought that up the other day when we talked to him is, hey, there's nobody behind you. You have to play, right? And some guys have to learn that. And Alex Van Pelt said Baker had to learn that, right? You have to learn how to not only play through an injury but succeed while you're playing through an injury. And I think both guys, Baker Mayfield and Jedrick Wills Jr., struggled in that regard. But I have not seen enough from Wills yet to say he's a decade, you know, he's going to be the left tackle for a decade. And I think if you look at, you know, not the Pro Football Focus is the end-all be-all, but they have him rated low. And you look at guys in that draft class, Andrew Thomas from the Giants, Worth with the Buccaneers, are ranked much higher than Wills. And I think he has all the physical capabilities. But when I watch him, the thing that stands out to me is it feels like he'll block a guy for a certain amount of time and then kind of let him go. And I think he needs to fight longer. I think he needs to have more dog. You know, like, okay, I'm going to block this guy for the entire play. I don't care if, you know, it takes 4 seconds of me blocking him as opposed to having a clock in his head like, oh, that should be enough. You know, it feels like he doesn't finish plays, and I would think that that would be a priority for, you know, Bill Callahan and the offensive coaches to get him to take that next step next year.
Yeah, just looking at some other things. Let me ask you this, too, because I'm curious. What were your biggest takeaways from yesterday? Like, what did you walk out of that press conference knowing – that you were smarter or didn't have any reference points to moving forward?
I did think the Jarvis Landry non-answer was significant. I thought his support of Kevin Stefanski as a play caller was noteworthy. I know he said something similar at the bye, but now we're kind of taking a look at the whole season, and he's supporting Stefanski in that role and says he's, you know, that's one of his strengths. You know, I those are the two biggest takeaways off my – I mean, besides all the Baker conversation,
yeah,
right, and leaving the door open like we talked about early. It's so hard in those things, and Andrew Berry's not going to give up a lot of information. I do think in the last 2 days, talking to Stefanski and Berry and a bunch of the players on their way out, I do think it's worth noting that there's not a sense of major changes are needed. And I agree with that. I think it's more tweaks and more specific – areas of improvement. Not that the passing game doesn't need significant changes, but from a roster standpoint, from an organization standpoint, I don't think you're going to see a lot of changes on the coaching staff, right? I think the feeling is that the talent's good enough, the coaches are good enough. It was just one of those years where it didn't happen. And, you know, you can point to injuries, you can point to COVID, You can also point to your quarterback slash passing game not being nearly effective enough, and that's what, you know, if you're pointing at one area, that's what needs to be fixed going into 2022.
I guess just the one follow-up on that, do you buy what he was saying about him, his strength being play calling? Like, I kind of shook my head a little bit on that. I was like, I don't know if this is the time to double down on that.
it's interesting. I do believe that Andrew Berry thinks that, right? I mean, I don't think Andrew is lying. I think he believes that that's the strength of Kevin Stefanski. Whether or not it was a strength this season is obviously debatable. We've talked about it a million times. I don't think that was what held the offense back, is the plays that Kevin Stefanski called. And, you know, obviously there's individual ones that are bad calls. But overall, I don't think that was the biggest problem. I think the quarterback failing to execute those play calls was a big problem. I think not having the talent in the receiving core, with especially after Odell left and then with Jarvis fighting through his injury, was an issue. And then I think Kevin Stefanski's system, kind of philosophically, there is room for improvement there. You know, does he use the three tight ends too much? Is he too conservative? You know, how do you get those explosive plays back in the passing game, which could come down to your quarterback and your receiver? But from strictly play calling, I think he's fine, and I'm not one of those guys that thinks that, you know, that's what held this team back and that Alex Van Pelt would be some silver bullet.
Hmm. All right, Scott. Well, I mean, when he said it yesterday, I was just kind of like, I can understand why you feel that way. I just don't know if I'm verbalizing that today. That's all. It was one of those little things. Scott, thank you as always. We love talking to you, and thank you for your perspective.
Thanks, guys.
All right, we'll talk to you soon. Scott. Make sure at BrownZone.com and, of course, in the Chronicle Telegram. He is Scott Petrek, super friend of the show.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe? Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.